For SearchSecurity.com, I'm Bill Brenner. You're listening to our Newsmaker podcast series. This month, I'm pleased to welcome David Maynor. Maynor is CTO of Errata Security, a new security testing lab based out of Atlanta. And he's the former senior researcher at Atlanta-based SecureWorks. He made headlines last summer along with fellow researcher John Elsh for shining a spotlight on security weaknesses in the wireless device drivers embedded in most laptop computers. Their demonstration at the Black Hat Conference in Las Vegas caused quite a stir, and the research presented led to the discovery of flaws in device drivers from multiple vendors. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
David, that Black Hat presentation caused quite a buzz, and while you and John made it clear that you were outlining a threat to all device drivers, a lot of people became fixated on the fact that you used a MacBook in the demo, and a lot of Apple fans pointed out that the MacBook had a third-party device driver. Some people complained that Apple security was being painted in an unfair light. Did that reaction surprise you at all?
That reaction actually did surprise me. We went to great pains throughout the filming of the video for the demonstration to say, you know, again that the device driver we were exploiting was a third-party driver. So it was kind of funny that it seemed after the fact that people were latching onto that when, you know, we said that the entire time. And also, it seemed kind of strange that people, like, really chose to only paint the device drivers in a light that affected Macs when we also went out of our way, you know, several times to say that it affected, you know, almost every operating system and, you know, hardware configuration. They really seem to be pigeonholed on just the Macintosh angle for it. That was actually really surprising.
And now, has some of the controversy died down from your end? Do you hear as many people going on about it, or have people pretty much moved on?
Well, some people have moved on, but, you know, in the wake of the research you presented, other researchers are actually looking into, you know, the same types of vulnerabilities we detailed. And, you know, not long ago, the Metasploit project released, you know, a working exploit for a remotely exploitable condition in an Apple device drive. You know, they released the code for it and whatnot. And, you know, there were still the same people that, you know, a lot of the same people are still saying that this isn't really an issue, even though now there's, you know, exploit code for it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a little confusing for me.
Now talk about some of the flaws that have been discovered as a result of the Black Hat presentation. I remember covering about a month ago an issue with Toshiba. Talk about the various issues that have been uncovered.
Well, first of all, the point of us doing this research is that, you know, operating system vendors like Apple or Microsoft are spending a lot more time making their operating systems, you know, harder to exploit. So what attackers are having to do is find easier ways to compromise systems. And one of the easiest ways is still device drivers. Most device drivers are developed by, you know, third parties. They don't go through the same stringent security checks that, you know, the operating system vendors have. Although when you install them and use them, they literally become part of your operating system. So that was a premise that we started off doing this research on, and it's led to a number of different discoveries, like the Apple flaws and, as you mentioned, the Bluetooth stuff. And basically all we're doing is we've written tools to take normal types of traffic, and it will generate malformed versions of it to basically see if there's proper error handling for these different kinds of conditions in the driver. And we're finding that there's a lot of cases where, you know, that's just not the case. Like the Bluetooth vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You know, what's funny is a lot of people, like, that shit, the Bluetooth vulnerability was present in a lot of different types of laptops because the software was actually developed by Toshiba. And it was OEM by a lot of different laptop makers like Dell, you know, Toshiba, Sony, laptop vendors like that. And, you know, a lot didn't even realize that they had a Toshiba stack in their machine. Because, you know, it's happening at such a low level, it's something that people generally won't think about a lot. As long as it's working, they don't care how it works.
Sure. Now, tell me, how responsive have vendors been when you've notified them of problems with their wireless technology?
Well, Dell and Toshiba were extremely responsive and worked together, and we got a fix out, rather quickly for the problem. It, you know, most of the vendors I've worked with have been, you know, open and receptive to receiving the information.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as a bigger problem? Weaknesses in wireless technology or the computing habits of people who use the technology when they're on the go connecting to Wi-Fi in the airports and in the hotels and the local Starbucks?
Well, what's funny is technology is always changing. I mean, you know, like I said, operating system vendors like Apple and Microsoft and, you know, Linux and FreeBSD Project and whatnot, they're always strides forward in ways to protect their users, you know, from different types of attacks and things like that. But the biggest hole has been and will always be, you know, the human element in that. If you, if you connect to a dangerous access point or you run, you know, an email attachment, it doesn't really matter how good the operating system security is. You know, there's always going to be a way to exploit that.
We'll have more with David Maynor after this message from our sponsor.
So you're looking for good reference books on information security, but it's so painful trying to figure out which ones are worth reading. And you're sick and tired of spending time on all those tedious e-com websites trying to sift through all of those anonymous user reviews, right? Well, here's a word of advice. Check out SearchSecurity.com's Information Security Bookshelf. SearchSecurity.com has compiled an impressive selection of reference book excerpts from leading information security experts, including Ira Winkler, Gary McGraw, Kevin Mitnick, Joel Dubin, and many more. And if you want more than an excerpt, you can download a full chapter for free. Check it out today at SearchSecurity.com/bookshelf. That's SearchSecurity.com/bookshelf.
And we're back with David Maynor from SecureWorks. David, what are some of the security threats that you're trying to get a handle on in addition to the wireless issues that you've gotten so much attention for in the last few months?
Well, one of the big threats now is things like office document vulnerabilities. These file formats are so complex, it's really hard for someone to write a parser to get, you know, the handling of them completely correct. And, you know, now people are finding lots and lots of different vulnerabilities in office documents. And it's getting harder and harder for traditional security companies to be able to handle this. That's definitely a big problem. You know, the device drivers, of course, is a big problem, but it has a limited and effective range because you have to be within generally a proximity of a machine to attack it. One of the other things that, you know, is... that I find interesting is something we call data seepage, which means that your laptop, whatever, is basically spewing a lot of information about you, you know, out to networks when you connect to like a wireless network in an airport. Like if you think about it, when your laptop connects to a new network, the first thing it does is, you know, your end vendor tries to log in, or your end client tries to log in. You may try to reconnect network drives, and all that activity is actually giving somebody a fingerprint or, you know, a clue as to, you know, who you are and what your internal network might look like in your office. That's actually going to be a bigger problem in the coming months, I think.
Talk about, give an example of the type of attack scenario that you spend the most time worrying about and why IT administrators should care.
Well, the biggest problem I see is that a lot of IT administrators have spent a lot of time hardening the perimeter, but they're leaving like the chewy center that's really open, meaning that, you know, you spend a lot of time on your firewalls and your IPS at the border, and then your VP of marketing comes in, you know, over from a long weekend with her laptop and, you know, brings in a malware she got from her DSL line at home or something like that. That's always the hardest to protect against, because people don't really want to segment their internal networks that much. So it's getting harder and harder to actually stop the threat inside. So this would be in a case where, like, you know, somebody in the marketing department, PC, might be spewing malware that would affect somebody in development or in accounting or human resources. But the biggest threat is trying to convince people to actually segment their internal networks with security devices and whatnot.
In general, do you think the good guys are winning the information security battle? Do you think things like regulatory compliance have helped at least push people further in the right direction?
Well, that's a good question, because I don't really think that this is a war that you can really easily boil down to whether you're winning or losing. It's an arms race, and you know it's not about who's winning or losing. It's about who's got the next big tool. You know, like IPSs started getting a lot of deployment right after the last storm and stuff like that, because people actually saw for the first time there was this widespread worm. Was affecting networks and, affecting people's productivity and, knocking their networks offline. So they deployed IPS. In response to that, then the hackers come up with different ways to spread the worm. So now that there's, financial motivation for people to do this, people will always be motivated to come up with different ways to spread this kind of malware. So I don't really think of it as a game you can win or lose. It's all, there's just always the next round waiting to happen.
Sure. Now, David, we're going to close with our Newsmaker rapid-fire Q&A. These are five questions, not all of them related to security. Keep the answers as brief as possible. Here we go. When you're not working, what's your favorite guilty pleasure?
Blonde.
What's the most embarrassing automobile you've ever owned?
A 1991 Mitsubishi Eclipse.
What was embarrassing about it?
It wasn't one color. It was multiple colors.
What's your favorite TV show?
Lost.
What book would you recommend that all information security professionals should read?
Stranger than that. I actually just published a book called The Singularity Force Guide to Emerging Threats, and it actually briefly touches on a lot of the different topics that you'll find will be relevant in security in the next year. So I hate to plug myself, but I would say that book.
And how about a book from somebody other than yourself?
The Art of Software Security Assessment by Mark Dowd.
What's your biggest piece of advice for people entering the information security business, whether it's somebody on the vendor side or somebody on the IT manager side?
I would say that it's really easy to get pigeonholed into a rut in information security of what people have, follow in the footsteps of what people have done before you. My biggest piece of advice would be to say that you should follow your own instincts and carve out your own niche. Look at things in a different way. I mean, that's what security is all about. It's trying to perceive the threat before the bad guys do.
Again, David Maynor from SecureWorks. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And that concludes our special SearchSecurity.com Newsmaker podcast, where we feature in-depth interviews with thought leaders in the information security market. The latest information security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at SearchSecurity.com/news. And you can always catch our Security Wire weekly podcasts featuring summaries of the latest news and interviews with security professionals at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Again, I'm Bill Brenner. Thanks for listening.